The Lord, the King of Israel, has come and visited his people. He has been doing what no man has ever done before. And the very good news is this. Jesus didn't come some religious crackpot on the face of the earth and made radical claims and then to just be blown away like the dust because, man, they have come and they have gone. And I got news for you. Jesus said before he comes back to the earth to establish his kingdom, there are going to be a lot of knuckleheads coming on the scene saying, I am the Messiah. And so Jesus warns us about these things, that people will come. But the beautiful thing about Matthew's gospel this morning is that the very fact of the matter is, Jesus has come and revealed his heart, his very mission, his purpose to the nation Israel. If we're going to get anything out of this message this morning, we've got to be Jewish in heart. We've got to put a little yarmulke on our head and put our robes on and kind of get into what is going on here. So we go back 1900 years. The page turns and we're there with Jesus. He has been ministering day and night. And look, he's got long hair. He's saying things that aren't normal. He looks a little radical. He's come from a bad neighborhood. Nazareth, what a place. Jesus comes on the scene. People are beginning to listen. They're beginning to look. He looks like a normal kind of a guy. He fits in. But Jesus begins to open his mouth and he begins to say things that cuts, so to speak, the men from the boys. Jesus begins to lay out his doctrine to the earth and people begin to draw near him and those others back off from him. And we do very well this morning to realize who's backing off and who's drawing near to Jesus. Jesus himself said, man, when you see a fruit tree and you can't really tell what kind of tree it is, just wait. Springtime's coming. It's going to put out blossoms and then fruit's going to come out. And when you pick from that tree, if the fruit is rotten or an orange or an apple, you know what it is. It's either good for nothing or it's a certain fruit. Now, Jesus says, great. Judge me by my words. Judge me by my action. And so this is what has happened. In Matthew 11, Jesus has come on the scene. He's raised people from the dead. He has touched people. The one woman, remember her? She had an issue of blood. Hey, she was bleeding from her bottom for 12 years. Despised and rejected by the Jewish people. She is no good according to the religious mind. And Jesus says, oh man, she's cool. I love her. And the moment she touches him, she's healed. And Jesus says, woman, go. Your faith has made you whole. Jesus comes to the leper, who in the Jewish mind, with his little beanie on, his yarmulke, says, the leper is a sinner. The physical manifestation of his life is indicating that he's got deep sin in his heart. There's people around like that today. If you're not rich, you have sin in your life. That is damnable heresy, the Bible says. And so listen up. Jesus doing wonderful things. You know, the thing that blows my mind is that if Jesus showed up, come walking through these doors right now, religious people would begin to criticize him and judge him because he doesn't fit the mold. But those of us who are sinners and realize we've blown it, you know what? We would look into his eyes, into the eternal eyes of God, the Son, and peer into his face and say, man, whoever and whatever he is, I want it and I want it all. And that's a great thing about Jesus, man. The sinners loved him. We ended last week, if you remember. We ended our study in Matthew 11 at verse 19. And I'm just going to, by way of review, read that to you. Jesus says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, he's a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Hey, you know what? I'd circle that in your Bible. That's good news. I'm a sinner. Maybe I'm a tax collector too. Heck, I don't know. But Jesus loves me, and he's a friend of sinners. And so if you're a sinner this morning, by the way, technically we all are, enjoy your Jesus today. But hey, verse 20 is where we begin. Matthew 11. Then he, Jesus, began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And Jesus said, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable in the day of, more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven, and you will be brought down to hell or Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And at that time, Jesus began to answer and say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed these things to babes. Even so, Father, so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son Jesus Christ except the Father who's in heaven, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son Jesus, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This portion of Scripture starts out in a very depressing state, and it's a depression by choice. Jesus comes out bringing out the woes of God. To one spectator, woe unto you. To the other, wow, this is great. People are divided. The world's divided today, this morning. You're either in one camp or the other. You're either loving the Lord or you don't love the Lord. And what does it mean to love him? We're going to find out this morning. And God, by his mercy, is going to reveal things to our hearts that hopefully will cause us to walk with him closely. Listen, Jesus at this point in time is reflecting back. He's looking at the deeds that he has performed, the works that he has done, and he is saying, for crying out loud, Bethsaida, Chorazin, Capernaum, why don't you wake up? Jesus' judgment upon these people, they were Jewish cities. The Bible tells us, to whom much is given, much will be required. There has been a great light given to the Jewish nation. There were great miracles done in Bethsaida. Chorazin saw the work of God, Jesus himself in the flesh. And then, Capernaum. Capernaum was the town that Jesus deemed his headquarters. He made it his hangout. The army of God, so to speak, in this earth began there at Capernaum. And Jesus comes out against these people saying, woe to you! Man, you guys have blown it. God has visited you. And even if you don't believe my words, Jesus says, believe me for what I have done. And so Jesus stands indicting these people. And it's the same for us today, you guys. If we were rejecting, let's say you live in Costa Mesa or West Covina or across the street from Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego or a Harvest or wherever God's work is being done, and you mock it and you reject it and you stand and you go, oh, a bunch of loonies. And then you hear about people, their lives have been changed. They're no longer hooked on coke. They're no longer sleeping around. God's come in and fixed them and they're so happy. Come knocking at your door and say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. It's great. And people go, get out of here, you lunatic, you weirdo. And that person shuts up the door against Christ and against the people who have been changed by Jesus Christ and the message, the good news. It is a segregation. It is a dislocation from God and from his people that is our making. It's our choice. If we reject Jesus Christ, the Bible says what comes to us, we get. Jesus has gone to the cross to keep us out of hell and from dying. And we stand and reject him. And it's crazy. Many people reject Christ because they make a fatal mistake in rejecting, so to speak, the bathwater. They throw the baby out too. They reject religion. They identify Jesus as being some religious man. I got news for you. Jesus Christ spoke against religion more than anybody else in the Bible. He hated religion. Religion keeps people from God. Religion says, I will pay this. I will walk like this. I will sit down. I will stand up. I will do this, 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 and this, and then I'll be accepted. And Jesus Christ came and said, no, no, no. In fact, in the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights, we are going to be getting into that portion of Scripture where Jesus himself says, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Do you know what that word Nicolaitans means? Nico, lords, priests, governors, laitans. It's where we get our word lay people, the laity. Jesus says, I hate those who rule and flex their muscle over people religiously. Jesus wants you to read the Bible. Jesus wants you to know him. Not drop some money in a bucket and stand up and sit down and fight for God. He wants you. He wants your life. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to set the story straight. He comes and he says, Bethsaida, you cities of beautiful pomp and glory. Capernaum, beautiful seaport village. In fact, if you go there today, it's a bunch of junk now. There's nothing going on there. Zero. But you know what? If you stood at Capernaum, you'd sit there and you'd go, gosh, this reminds me of La Jolla, San Diego. This looks just like Balboa. Because it does. The climate, it's beautiful. The breeze, the cool, the water, it's great. There should be a beautiful city there. There should be a Meridian Hotel and a Del Webb or something. Who knows, you know? Or a Motel 6 for guys like me. It's a great place, but nothing's there. Nothing but a bunch of holes because people are digging it up looking for, you know, artifacts and archaeological digs. I heard this joke. By the way, there's some young people in here too. You need to hear this. They say that archaeologists make really neat husbands because the older you get, the more interested they become in you. Listen, Jesus is saying, get relationship with him. Get relationship with the Father, not religion with a priest and not religion with a system. Jesus comes out of the gate saying, hey, wake up. And he pronounces this judgment upon these cities. And so he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Verse 21, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, those are Gentile cities, pagan, lost cities who did not have the light of the gospel and of the prophets like we do today. If those things would have been done in those cities, man, hey, they would have repented a long time ago. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Awesome indictment. And you, Capernaum, headquarters of my ministry, Jesus says, you are exalted to heaven. How is that? Because God's there. Jesus is working there. Whenever there's a work of God going on in your home or in your community or in your state or in the White House, we become directly beneficial of it. Bringing it closer to home. I am absolutely delighted about Calvary Chapel West Covina. They're moving to Diamond Bar. And they bought that humongous facility, and they've been battling with the city. And last weekend, I was talking to Raul Reese, and he said, you know, we tried to get areas in Diamond Bar for 2 years and have met tremendous opposition. But God has delivered this massive structure into their hands, and we praise God for it. And here's the deal. West Covina, you might know the story. Calvary West Covina, they're meeting the thousands and thousands of people coming. Raul preaching the gospel, uncompromising, packing the place in, and breaking the law at the same time by overpacking the people. The fire marshal got all upset, came out there and slapped locks on the doors and said, you let the people in that this place is seated for, and we put the locks on the doors the minute they're in. Slam that place down. So, hey, you know, this morning, they're in the middle of their fourth Sunday service right now. Fourth Sunday service in the morning. Listen, West Covina says, go away from here. You're a pain in our rear end, so to speak. And I wonder, what's going to happen to West Covina when that ministry unplugs and moves? Think about it. You know, you may think I'm nuts by saying this. I got news for you. Every phone call I get, and I've shared this with you before, in the middle of the night or wherever, demonic activity going on in the lives of people, glasses breaking, people screaming, weirdness. I've never had one from any other town but Diamond Bar. I wigged out. I forgot his name. I'm going to say Roscoe or what. The guy that's head of the demon department down at Horizon in San Diego. They have a nationwide ministry there at Calvary Chapel of Horizon. You know, Mike McIntosh. And I said, hey, you may think I'm weird, but I want to share this with you. And I shared it with him. And he goes, man, he goes, we got Diamond Bar mapped out. He goes, there is demonic people in the government and in the police and in the fire department there. And he says, we know who they are. And he says, you guys need to be in prayer. Man, Raw, hey, listen. Wow. That's why Raw and his ministry is going to Diamond Bar. And I told Raw last week, I said, you better pray, dude, that they don't, those little demons don't run over. I didn't say that. I said, you better pray, dude, that they don't come over into our hills, man. When the gospel's rejected, people will begin to suffer horrible things. Hey, we are benefactors of America whose foundation was rooted and grounded in God. It's not like that now. Judgment's coming. Billy Graham says, if God does not judge America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Ooh, does that hurt? And boy, is that true. Listen, let's pick up the pace. Jesus says here in verse 25, oh no, I'm way ahead of myself. I got to quote this verse to you first. Bless my heart. Jesus is coming. He's come to the people. They've rejected him, right? Listen to this blessed piece of scripture in John 1. He was in the world. He was in the world, Jesus. And the world was made by Jesus. And the world knew him not. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. But, I love that, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons, and that's Mr. and Mrs. Son, children of God. These people reject, we receive, we benefit, they eat the judgment of God. Why? Because God likes it? No. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, not one person, but that all should come to eternal life through his Son. God looks at the world. You know, some people say, I don't understand the God of the Old Testament. It's the same God. It's the same one. He broke his back trying to get those people to come to him, and they refused. They rejected him. And when they were judged because they asked for it. Sometimes my little kids act like that. Now, if you don't stop, I'm going to have to spank you. And in my house, it's the 1, 2, 3. If they hear 3, it's too late. 1, I said, don't do that again. And they keep doing it. I said, 2, I said, you know the number, man. And they kind of go like this. Oh, yeah? Let's see if you're really tough enough, Dad. And they go, they step over that line. They have asked for it. And so I do not disappoint them. But the Lord is willing that all should come to repentance. Now, verse 25, he says, and at that time, when Jesus was saying these words, Jesus says, answering the Father, and he says to him, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Not cute, attractive people, babes. People who are gentle in their heart towards God. Simple. People who want to hear from God. Look, you may be sitting here this morning, you don't want to hear from him. Okay, then don't hear from him. You make that choice. That's your choice. I'm not going to bend your arm. But Jesus here is saying to them, saying to his Father, I thank you, Dad, that the simple ones are excited about this. Now here, check this out. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, owner of it all, that you've hidden these things from those who really, Romans 1:22 tells us, think they're wise. Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools because they've rejected God and they begin to believe the lie, which I believe is evolution. They begin to believe in other gospel, another system. And Jesus says here, hey, Dad, I praise you, Lord. Because those who think they're wise, they don't need me, they don't need you. They're self-sufficient, Jesus is saying. Those that are productive for themselves and don't need me, hey, you've hid it from them. But to those who need me and need my person and need my salvation, hey, you've revealed the good news to the babes in heart. And this is where this whole Bible study takes a turn right now. Jesus comes off of the woes and he focuses now on the wows. Hot dog. This is good news. Jesus says, oh, the little babes. Jesus says, man, if you want to come into the kingdom of God, you got to become just like a little kiddo. And what is a little kid? Somebody who's trusting. Somebody who's open. My 8-year-old daughter is growing up. She's getting older. There used to be a time when she was not hesitant or reserved in anything. She would just go. She saw me and she would go for it. And she's getting older now and it's not as easy anymore to get her to trust in me. Jump, honey, jump. No way, Dad. Oh, come on, jump. And it's that early parenthood in me that wants my little girls to still be little girls because life is so much better there. And I remember Rebecca standing there. One time she's standing at the flight of a bunch of stairs and I'm watering and I saw her and I, oh, no way. She sees me and she's going, Daddy, Daddy. And she starts to go off that flight of stairs and I crawled and scraped and got up there and I grabbed her just in time. I mean, her body was leaving this thing. And oh, and I knew, man, angel just bailed me out. Put her back up there and oh. But Ashley's still 5 years old. And I can put her on a block wall and I can say, jump! And she'll go, you know, just total faith, total trust. She's a babe. She leaps into my arms. Why? That's my dad. That's my daddy. We were flying from an Indian reservation back here to Newport Beach in a Cessna after we delivered about 450, 500 pounds of food and clothing to some missionaries out in the desert of Arizona. And coming in, it was very hot. It was Rebecca's birthday that day. It was August 13th. It was very turbulent, very hot day. And I mean, things were shaking. And I knew we were in trouble when I could have swore we saw a Canadian flock of honkers, geese, go by. We were coming at an angle like that, and that could be a real problem in a private airplane. You know, roast goose right on your dashboard is not cool. And it was very bumpy, and they were flying very high because it's cooler up there, and we tried to climb up to where they're at, where it's cooler, to get out of the bumps because I hate those kind of bumps. And the wings, you see the wings move. This one's going like this, and this one's like that. And you're going, oh, God. Because you see, Jesus is lo, I am with you always. A little bit out of context. Hey, but listen here. It got real bumpy. I look back over to, she's sitting back over here. I look back. Rebecca's cool. She's fine. I'm like this. My wife's got her teeth hanging out. Rebecca is fine. Why? My daddy's flying the airplane. Everything's okay. Hey, unfortunately, we grow up and we don't begin to trust God like we once did that first few days as a Christian. Or when we were a little kiddo and we come to Christ maybe 5, 6 years old and we grow up, faith, faith, and then we get to high school or college and our faith gets undermined because we begin to listen to those who profess themselves to be wise and they become fools. And we get swayed. We begin to grow up according to the world and grow away from Jesus. Jesus says, if you want to grow up, you got to get little again. If you want to come into the kingdom, you got to get real dinky and small again in your heart. And receive the things I say simply because I say them. And I tell you what, Jesus says, if you can't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for the works that I do. Please, Chorazin. Please, Bethsaida. Please, Capernaum. Repent. That word repent is metanoia. Meta. Change, after, turn around. Turn around in your heart and in your mind. That's all that word repent means. That's all it means. Repent. Jesus says, man, metanoia. That's all I'm asking. And we go like this because we're grown up. I'll do my own thing, God. Thank you very much. And it breaks Jesus' heart. He is so radically loving. I can't wait to see him. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I have no idea where I am in my notes anymore. I said this to the first service. I'd like to say this again. I love it. You can have all the religious degrees and all the chemistry and biology and biomedical and all the degrees behind you. It won't do you one bit of good come someday very soon. It's not what you know that's going to save you. It's who you know. Now, in business, sometimes that works too. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's unfortunate. But I tell you what, when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ, it's all that counts. And we need to just absolutely bind our hearts to him. Verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. This is God speaking. God says, I'm gentle. God says, I'm lowly in heart. I'm humble. God, humble. And you will find rest for your souls. First of all, verse 28, the word in the Greek, come, simply means this. Stand up and take a step. Just one step. Stand up and come. It takes your muscle to stand up. Okay? You need to move towards him. He's the one that first says to you, come. And when you hear that call, maybe you don't know Jesus this morning, or maybe you do. And Jesus is saying, come. Come to me again. Come to me afresh. You've let our life together kind of dwindle away, Jesus is saying, to our hearts as believers. Make it fresh again. Come to me. And to the non-believer, man, Jesus holds out these bloody, pierced hands. You could see right through them. Hole right in the middle. And he says, come to me. I've got your name written on the palms of my hands, says the Bible. Jesus reaches out to us. Neat word. Come, stand up, move towards me. All of you, not some of you, all. Are you heavy laden and burdened? The context is, are you sick of religion? That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, if he could say it right now in our vernacular, he would say, going to church got you down. Tired of that old religious grind. Tired of people fishing for money in your pockets and asking you to sign up for this and that. Always using your house for the potluck. People shoving fire and repentance and judgment down your face. Jesus says, why don't you come over here? You know, that's one thing that's made, I think, ministries like Calvary Chapels and so many Calvary Chapels popular with the people is that they're cash. Jesus was very casual. And he says, you want life? Come. But how much? I said, come. Where do I have to go? Just right, come, right here. And it's pretty embarrassing to see a grown man stand like this, and poor Jesus has got to stand there and go, come on, come on, you can do it. Oh, just take a step. I'll catch you. But I'm a man. I've got to, you know, I'll do it myself. Oh, Jesus says, just come. Don't be a knucklehead. Be a kid. Jesus says, just stand up, get away from religion and its rigid form, and come to me. That free? That easy. And so Christ reaches out to us, and he says, come, stand up, come, who are burdened and laden under religious systems, the law of God, the Jew, the Ten Commandments that we've all broken. He says, come. Okay, great. Get away from the Ten Commandments. Come to me. Doesn't look too exciting in the English. It means this in the Greek. Be refreshed. Take ease. And as I told the first servant, the Greek word kickbacko. Just kidding. Kick back in God. Kick back in Christ. That word means, Jesus says, if you're bummed and laden down with religion, come to me and find refreshment. Find relaxation. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but how? But by my spirit, says the Lord." It's God's work. He'll refresh you. He'll draw you. Jesus is offering. Now look, who would reject such a thing? If you sit here today and reject this, just verse 28, then you're crazy. What are you waiting for? We're not going to give out lottery tickets. We're not going to draw you back by some game or gimmick. This is it. Hey, this is all the gimmick we have. It's Jesus. He's changed my life. He's changing lives with people sitting right around you. He says, come. You need to say, I'm coming. Okay, I'll go. That's all. He's going to give you refreshment. Verse 29, take my yoke and learn from me. This is a beautiful word picture. Jesus is sitting with reins. He's got them in his hands. There's two oxen out front. The yoke is what joins those oxen to the harness. Okay? And he says, man, yoke up with me. Get yoked with me. And I'll lead you along. And look, he says, I'm gentle, I'm lowly. That means I go this way to the left and this way to the right. And Isaiah tells us, don't be like the dumb ass, the donkey, the mule, who's got to be governed, jerked around with a bit and bridle because he's stubborn. Jesus says, if you yoke up with me, I'll lead you along. Wouldn't that be nice, wives, for your husbands? Well, I'd like to get my husband yoked up to the Lord. Get him to take out the trash. You know, wash the dog. Hey, we need to get yoked to Christ. We're all yoked to something. We're all tied into something. Something fires you up, or something used to fire you up, and now you're in bondage and stuck to it. Maybe it's a system, or maybe it's a way. We're all yoked. We may be yoked to a job that we can't break. Oh, but I have commitments tomorrow. Hey, maybe God is saying, just take the day off, will you? Just back off and play in the sun with me. Take your kids to the beach or lay out in the park. Think about me. Now, every one of you guys are going to lay off of work tomorrow. What are you teaching at that church? Our business, our profitability is down. Everybody at Calvary Chapel stayed home today. That's okay. Take a day off with God. Be yoked with Him. Because He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I'm excited. See this word rest? Totally different word than the word in verse 28. Looks the same in the English, spelt the same way, totally different meaning in the Greek. This word, this meaning is to be recreated. Actually, recreation. Jesus says, hey, I'm gentle, I'm lowly, come to me, be yoked to me, and you will find recreation, recreation. Enjoyment is the word for your souls. How many of you right now this morning think maybe, oh, I can't really enjoy religion. I mean, church and the Bible, it's got to be kind of, you know, there's got to be some dirge about it. Hey, we've been duped. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have hard times. But so does everybody else. Some people are just better liars than others. Some people don't show their hard times. Jesus says, hey, come to me and you're going to find recreation for your soul. You're going to have a good time. You're going to understand that he that drinks of this, the blood of Christ, will never thirst again. He that drinks of this water, from his innermost being. The Greek word is his internal vitals. Out of his vital organs will flow rivers, torrents, gushings of living water. Hey, what system in the world offers that to you? Come to work for us. We'll give you a car, we'll give you a 2-week vacation, and living water flowing from your guts. Sounds like you might need a medicine with something like that. Jesus says, come to me, and out of your innermost being will flow life. And Jesus says, concerning those who reject him, man, they are alive, yet they're dead. I mean, their eyes are blinking, their hearts are beating, but their life towards me is totally dead. And it breaks the heart of God because He has done so much to get us to love Him and for us to receive His love. 1 John 5:3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Oh, great, Jack, there you go. Laying the yoke on me. No, the rest of the verse is, and his commandments or requirements are not grievous. They're not tough. They're not difficult. Well, then what is it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm already saved. Then trust Him for today. Trust Him for tomorrow. But you don't know the financial situation I'm in. God says, I know the financial situation you're in. I'm the one that made you the promises. You're supposed to follow me. Did I not say, get up and go? Get up and come? Well, yes, you said that. You also said that you'd take care of my needs. Yes? Then let me do it. Christ is saying, man, stop worrying about it. I think it's Psalm 75:6 that says, promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the north or from the south, but promotion comes from God. And let God promote you. In school, let Him promote you. In church, in your business, let God promote you. Why? Because He desires to do that. Get it in your head. You and me both. We can be so thick-headed. God does not sit in heaven like this. Like a judge peering over the bench. Well, I ought to knock that guy off his car. Look at him. He's all wigged out or upset. I'm just going to thump him. God stands in heaven going, man, that is the satanic way to look at God. That's exactly how the devil would like you to think of God the Father. Remember, it's Jesus that says, call Him Abba in the Aramaic. Call Him Abba. Call Him what? Hey, Papa. Jesus wants you to call God when you're praying, Papa, Daddy. Oh, now that's just a little too casual for me. Well, then keep your religion. Whoa. Jesus says, call Him Dad. It's a word of endearment. Jesus is saying to these little kids, you and me, jump off the block wall, I'll catch you. All right. He catches you. Good. Now jump off the cliff. Okay. Now, jump off the end of the world, and I'll catch you and I'll lead you all about doing my bidding in the earth. Being somebody who makes an impact in the lives of people, not some lump on a log who's content with religion. Who wants it? Come on, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. You darn tootin' it is. Sin's a good time for a while. The Bible says it is. Satan knows how good it works, so he pumps it in front of our faces all the time. Hey, it's fun for a while! But there comes a time, it says that sin will pay its dues. It will issue a paycheck. Where I used to work up until a couple of weeks ago, people would come by, the secretaries would come by, and they'd go, you know, here's your... And guys, 2:30, and up heads poking over the cubicles, looking for money. Here comes your wages. Open it up. All right, praise the Lord. I got paid. Sin, I'm not making this up. This is for realsies, man. Sin is coming. And it says, you've been one of my slaves for a long time. You've been one of my employees. I've governed over your life. You've served me well. Here is your paycheck. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And sin is going to hand over its check, and you're going to open it up. It's going to be a big zip, a big zero. You're a zero. And you're going to say, man, how stupid I have become. Because Jesus, in all the meanwhile, has provided this wonderful way to walk with Him. And we reject. We reject as believers because we don't trust Him, and we reject as non-believers because we won't come to Him. Hey, in wrapping this thing up, Jesus says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That word burden simply means this one word and nothing greater. It means service. Jesus is saying, if you come, I tell you, you know, you ought to take verse 28, 29, and 30. They are one of the most precious scriptures in all of the Bible. You ought to underline them, highlight them, put neon lights around them, put your name next to it, do something with it. Put it on your forehead, something. In fact, there's a verse in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy and in the book of Leviticus, that says that you're to take the commandments of God and they're to be like frontals on your forehead. They're to lead you and guide you. And you're to wrap them around your hands and your heart, everywhere. Put the Word of God all around you. Why? Because they are a lamp unto your path. They're a light to light the way.